Permit me up and let me stand. I think the pen of stable land, higher plain than I have found. I plant my feet on higher ground. I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Now, we've been studying in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4. I want to read that verse again. Chapter 4 and verse 11 of Ephesians. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And we've talked about those, and we looked at teachers the last time. And actually, the verses I read to you, 1 Corinthians 4:17, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, and 1 Timothy 4 and verse 11, in those verses we actually see two examples of teachers. We see the example of a pastor being a teacher, one who is able to expound the Word of God, one who is able to bring the Word of God down to the individual that will explain what the Word of God is saying from the Word of God. And once again, if a pastor gets away from the Word of God and starts saying just what he thinks, then that pastor is wrong. That pastor needs to stand upon the Word of God and give forth, "Thus saith the Lord." We saw the pastor, and we also saw individuals who are to be able to teach. It says in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3, "Teach no other doctrine. These things command and teach," in 1 Timothy 4:11. I believe that as we read those verses and other verses as well, we not only see the pastor teaching, but we see other individuals within the local church teaching the Word of God. Well, notice in these verses that I mentioned and that we read the last time, Paul, a missionary, church planter, who is also an apostle, instructs Timothy, a pastor of a local church, to teach the truth. Paul instructs Timothy to teach teachers who are teaching false doctrine to teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. What doctrine is Paul speaking of? What doctrine is it that people are to be teaching within a local church? You see, all teachers who claim to be of God are not to stray from the doctrine of Jesus Christ, saved by grace, not works, and not by keeping the law. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, charge some. Well, now, false teachers are actually condemned in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And these are who evidently insisted strenuously upon the obligations of the Jewish law. In other words, they insisted that the law be taught, that there was obligations to be kept, and this Jewish law must be kept. Well, this class of men seemed to have been a very general source of difficulty in the churches. This would be in the early church. And their attempts to encumber Christianity with the burden of Mosaic rites, it often caused the apostle great concern. And they are the subject of several rebukes in many of his epistles. Now, look with me if you would. If you have your Bible, I trust that you could have your Bible open. If not, then I pray that you could write down these verses. But if you can't do that, go to one of our websites. LRWM.org is one of our websites. And another one, itsagoodliferadio.com. itsagoodliferadio.com. If you go to one of those websites, you can listen to these programs once again, and you can get the scriptures there that we go through. Well, look with me, if you would, if you're able to, at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Paul the Apostle is talking about rebuking those individuals who are not teaching the Word of God, who are false teachers. Notice as we start reading in verse 3. as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Well, now, we think of these false teachers back during Paul's day and Timothy's day spreading false doctrine, of telling people they must keep the law in order to be saved. They must do this or do that. They tell them they have to do certain things in order to be able to go to heaven or to claim Jesus Christ or to claim God as their Father. They're false teachers. But you know, there are even those today who try to add works to salvation. There are those today who try to add speaking in tongues as a sign of or an indication of salvation. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, any deviation from the biblical standard of salvation of saved by grace through faith, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, any deviation from that, from God's standard of salvation, is heresy. Well, notice this. Those who try to add to God's word are those who are trying, and many times do, cause division in the body of Christ. Remember, Paul the Apostle is writing to local churches. Now he writes to Timothy. He writes to a pastor there, and he's writing. But this is also, we need to understand that Timothy was representing a local church, and Paul was writing to local churches, Ephesus and Philippi and so forth. But now notice that those who try to add to God's word are those who are trying and many times do cause division in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31 says this, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers." We've been studying this. "After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, show I unto you a more excellent way." Well, of all the things mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31, there is not one of those things that can take a person to heaven. Instead of getting hung up on what is in the past, let's get busy for the Lord in the present. Instead of telling people about healing of the body, let's get busy telling people about the healing of the soul. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12. And we're going to break this down, if you would bear with me, in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Well, notice now verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Well, notice what verse 5 says. Christ was wounded in body, soul, and spirit unto death. He paid the price for our sins, in other words, transgressions, that's in the verse, transgressions, verse 5. He was bruised, that's in the verse. He was slapped, beaten, mistreated as no other man or woman has experienced. For our, what? Iniquities, and that would be sins. In order for us to have peace, and that's mentioned there in that verse, verse 5, peace. In order for us to have peace, he was chastised. In other words, he was punished. He took our, and that's the saved people, the born-again people, He took our punishment. By his stripes we are healed from the sickness, not of disease, not of a cut finger, but with his stripes we are healed from the sickness of sin that takes a person to hell. Christ did it all for us. We as saved people will say that Christ died for the people of the world, and there is nothing wrong when we say that. But we as the people of God, those of us who are on our way to heaven, need to bring it a little closer to home and make what Christ did personal. He died for me. With his stripes, I am healed. He died for you. With his stripes, you are healed. When we got saved, it was personal. Let's keep it personal by serving our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice so many people get hung up on verses that they try to add to it. And many people will say that by his stripes you are healed means that you're going to be healed physically. Well, let's get serious. And let's understand that all of the scriptures in Isaiah 53 is talking about the healing of the soul. Isaiah 53 is talking about our Savior giving his life for us. Isaiah 53 is telling us that Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ bore our iniquities. He took our sins upon himself and gave his life for us that we could be healed. By his stripes, by his sufferings, we are made whole. We are able to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. I want to continue reading here. Isaiah 53, starting with verse 6. We must read in context what Isaiah 53 and verse 5 and so forth says. Verse 6 goes on to say, all we like sheep have gone astray. This is talking about human beings. We've all gone astray. We all need Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. It's not talking about the healing of the body. It's talking about the healing of the soul. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Folks, that's the answer right there. He bore the sin of many. Not that their bodies could be healed, but that so they could be in heaven one day with him. Do you know him today as your Savior? Ask him to come into your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I can't save myself, and I know that. And I'm trusting you, Lord, as God, to save me, because you gave your life for me. You shed your blood. I accept you right now as my Lord and my Savior. Trust him today. Ask him to come into your heart. Get serious with God, and he'll get serious with you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.